Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania is the first film in Phase 5 of Marvel's Cinematic Universe, Gianna. And you've seen the movie, I've seen the movie, and so let's let the people know if they should watch it or not.
Honestly, Jackson, you go first for this one, because I want to hear what you have to say, having a more positive outlook on this movie.
Well, for the quick synopsis brought to you by IMDb, Scott Lang, Hope Van Dyne, along with Hank Pym and Janet Van Dyne, explore the quantum realm where they interact with strange creatures and embark on an adventure that goes beyond the limits of what they thought was possible. That's not a good synopsis at all for this film.
I think it is.
You think it is?
It's basically all they do.
Well, yeah, but they like... So yeah, okay. So basically, this movie, for me, was exactly what I thought it would be. Like, I wasn't expecting this to be, holy smokes, knock my shoes off type of film. But it kept me engaged. It was interesting to see the quantum realm in full. Like, they kept building it up since Ant-Man 1. So it brought me entertainment value and it provided me with all the information I needed. Definitely has its flaws, but as a quick overview, I would say it's worth your time. But you have a different opinion.
I went into this and I knew it wasn't going to be the best. I wasn't expecting Infinity War or anything crazy like that. But it shocked me how much I did not enjoy it. I'm trying to think of things to say without getting into the specifics here, but I think if from a Marvel standpoint, it's not one of their best, but Paul Rudd's great, so Ant-Man's a good character. I think in order to move on, I'm a little behind on all my Marvel watches and I don't plan on catching up, but I think in the scope of things, being the first film of Phase 5, if you do want to get into Marvel or you are into Marvel, it's definitely worth watching because it definitely sets some stuff up there. Sets the tone.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a good film to start Phase 5 with because it finally starts to get into Jonathan Majors' character of Kang the Conqueror. And I thought this was a pretty good intro for him. We'll get into that in our spoiler review in the second half of today's episode. But I thought his performance as a whole was really good and was very much setting up for him to play a much larger role in the MCU. So I would say in terms of quality, the production quality of this movie, without getting into spoilers, I would say that this movie definitely has its noticeabilities, if that's the right term. Like, there's moments in this film when you're watching and you're just like, oh, that's green screen, or oh, that's CGI, and that takes you out of it for a little bit.
Yeah, well, you're actually right. I mean, it is all CGI, but I definitely think I'm not a big fan of these CGI movies or mocap movies, whatever. I think the technology is impressive, but during early on in the film, there were some moments, there's some scenes that are a little bit darker in terms of lighting that you can really tell it's the green screen. But I mean, that's just a Marvel thing. That's a whole different discussion. Quality over quantity.
Yeah, and they're kind of, and it feels like these movies are kind of just being rushed out.
Oh yeah.
And not. Maybe we'll dive into Marvel's problem in another episode. But I think this is kind of almost. It's not necessarily the cherry on top of that whole discussion, but it's continuing the same themes that are plaguing these movies.
I think it is though, because in terms of feedback, it seems like a lot more people, even those diehard fans, are starting to notice that it's getting noticeably worse in quality, whether that be visual effects or writing or plot. It goes back to that the mouse wants your money cash grab. I think they just need to tone it down. And I did see something that they said that Marvel, I forget where, or someone mentioned it, that Marvel is planning on slowing it down with releases, which I think is a good step back. In this movie too, another factor to consider is that in the industry, there's a really big visual effects artist shortage right now. So I
Oh.
think it's definitely part of it. And I mean, who knows? Who knows?
I mean, you're taking a VFX class right now, so maybe that's an industry that you pursue since there's a
Never,
shortage.
never in my life would I ever do that.
Well, 'cause
I'll
what? 'Cause
do.
it's hard or complicated?
No, I actually really enjoy the class, but I will never do visual effects for movies.
You could be the person that saves Marvel. You never know. Anyways, the cherry on top could be Guardians of the Galaxy. I think that's the next one. Like that's the next Marvel movie that's coming out. That one kind of holds the balance of Marvel in its hands, I'd say. Because if that movie's bad, like CGI bad, written poorly, people are going to officially start like dropping Marvel.
Oh, for sure. I
Because
think
I think people have already dropped the shows. I think people are already I've dropped the shows,
yeah.
right? I stopped watching after vaguely watching Moon Knight. After Moon Knight, I was out.
I didn't even make it that far.
Yeah, see, like you didn't even what was the last show you watched?
WandaVision, probably.
The first one?
Yeah. I was really excited for What If, but after that, I just.
You never saw Captain America?
No.
Or
I
Falcon
wasn't
and the
really
Winter
interested
Soldier?
in
What was
Captain
that?
America personally.
Okay,
I
that's
mean,
fine.
I'm Team Iron Man, so.
Yeah. But that's what holds like Marvel is the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I think if that movie does really well, people will start to have faith in sort of their trajectory of where Marvel's going, or at least have more hope. Like they might not be a lot, but it might be more. Do you have any clue what is happening after Guardians of the Galaxy?
If I remember correctly, I don't know if it's the next release, but I do know it's on the calendar. The Marvels with Brie Larson and Monica Rambeau. That's the
Yep.
character, not the actor.
And
And then the other girl,
Miss
the young
Marvel.
one.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
forgot her name because I never
I
watched
do
the
know
show.
that is coming out, I think, in November.
November 10th, 2023, obviously this year. And then for right now, we have to wait all the way until next May for Captain America: New World Order.
I didn't even know that one was a thing.
Yeah. And then you have Thunderbolts that same summer. And then it seems like you end phase five with the movie Blade, which that could be a very interesting way to end phase five. But this isn't a discussion on phase five. This is a discussion on Ant-Man and the Wasp. So before we get into our spoiler kind of review of it, I would say that if you like Marvel and you like Ant-Man, this is going to be a good movie for you. I think generally this is going to be a good movie for you. Now, if you are more of a person that likes clean, well-executed, great storyline movies, this is probably not for you. I was more engaged by Paul Rudd's character interacting with everybody and just seeing how that like developed. I was more interested to see like if anybody, see if someone were to die, how would that happen, sort of thing. So that's what kept me engaged. But if you're more listening to or focusing on what's like the story arc of this movie, it's not going to be for you.
Couldn't have said it better myself. I think it was a good movie to see in theaters, I think. It was it I mean, I didn't look the best on the big screen, but it did. It was a good movie to see in theaters, but I wouldn't say run right now and go throw your money at the ticketing window, but yeah, I mean, for the future of Marvel and the sake of Phase 5, I'd say, give it a watch if you're invested. We're back with spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie Ant-Man, the third one, Quantumania or whatever, stop watching now. Go watch it, come back and check back in because we're about to get into the heart of it all.
The nitty-gritty of Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. To start, where should we start? Where do you want to start in this film? What's your number one nitpick, I guess you could say, of this movie?
Probably the VFX, but we really got into that in the beginning. I mean, I don't think there's anything else to say in general. It just sucks.
I guess when you're talking about the VFX, the major thing that comes to mind is MODOK, the character of MODOK. Mm-hmm. What are your opinions on MODOK?
Who greenlit that? That's all I have to say, is because I think something we talked about before, the comic book character and the inclusion of comic accurate characters, is a good thing. And I think that supports that, because it's not only bringing in more to this whole cinematic world, but also drawing in like fans of the comics and stuff, and it makes you go back and look at some things. But I just think there had to have been a better way to do it.
Yeah.
Or a better character to bring in.
Absolutely.
It was jarring.
And the thing is, like, he was obviously a major player in the comics, and so obviously they wanted to bring him in. And I think if you had to pick a movie to bring him in, it'd be this one. But it's just something that looks better on physical pages than the big screen. So it definitely, for me, it wasn't like gross every time I saw it, but it was just like, bruh. It was like a bruh moment every time. It was, because you're just like, his face is ginormous. And then it's just like.
And honestly, the more I think about it, the less I see out of his character and the inclusion of him. Like, he's not the villain. He's just kind of there. So I think, especially with a character like that, I just think they could have done without it, personally.
The thing is, like, if you could take that character out of the movie and it wouldn't change.
Yeah.
And it really would not change. That
kind of segues into my other bone to pick, is the humor in this movie did not land for me personally. I think MODOK was put in there for, like, the jokes, like, oh, I'm not like a whatever he was saying. And I think that I didn't think it was funny personally. I mean, the whole Daryl bit was a little goofy, because it's like, this is so weird. This movie is so just bizarre. But like, in general, a lot of the jokes didn't land. And I thought that this movie kind of lost the Ant-Man charm that the other two movies had, where I really enjoyed those ones. But this one, it just felt like, I don't know, jokes were in there and there was no real like punchline. Like, no one in my theater was really laughing. So, I mean,
I would say this definitely was the most, or the least Ant-Man out of the Ant-Mans.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It was just the humor, like some of them, like some of the jokes hit. But obviously that's some and not most.
Yeah.
So most of the jokes kind of just were just like, oh, it was like a breathe out your nose type of joke. Like a, it wasn't a belly laugh.
Yeah. It just felt too, I don't know how to describe it. It just felt like it was put in there for the sake of, for the sake of saying, oh, look, we made a joke, but guess what? Your joke didn't land. So,
And it was just, So, and I think that this film, like Ant-Man, the Ant-Man films, what made those really special was kind of the whole, like, criminal crew. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
From the first two. Like, obviously, the second one wasn't good. And I think I have to go back and watch the second one. Because I don't know which one I liked more, the second one or this one. Because I remember the second one not being as good. Anyways, but that one at least had the crew in it. Like, that's, like, the comedic relief. And it was a good comedic relief. And it, like, eased the tension when you saw them on screen, because you knew it wasn't serious. Everyone that you kind of saw on screen on this movie, besides Scott, it kind of has a serious tone to them.
Yeah.
So when they're cracking jokes, you're just kind of like, all right. You know what I mean? Because you're not, you don't feel that ease, because you're like, serious, serious, serious. And then they crack a joke and you're just like, all right. That's the problem with Love and Thunder, is Love and Thunder struggled with tone. And I think Marvel movies now should shift to more serious tones, because you're kind of getting closer to the new, of like the Kang Dynasty and what's the new one? What's the other Avengers movie? Secret Wars. You're getting closer to those. And I think you have to get more serious, because you saw in like phase three towards the end, you got Civil War, you had Black Panther. Mm-hmm. But you're getting more of those serious tones, and like it feels like every Marvel movie now is trying to be like a comedy movie, or at least have like the sub drama. I was like, oh, the comedy in this movie was great. But film like this one, like if you were to tell me an Ant-Man movie, I would be like, oh, okay, that one should be a funny one. But if you were to tell me, what was one of the ones that just, I mean, Love and Thunder. Love and Thunder, you kind of thought would be funny because of Ragnarok, and they tried to live off that, like off the Ragnarok tone, and it just didn't work because you're
It's hard
dealing
to
with
do.
serious, you were dealing with serious topics first off, because the villain was very dark, and then you have Lady Thor, who's like dealing with cancer, which is a serious topic, so you're just trying to mix the two, and that one was like dark tones, and then the next scene's funny tones, dark tones, funny tones, and you're just like, what is going on? But this one, I felt like it was more like dark overtones over the whole thing, sort of. Yet the characters were kind of just like relaxed and having a good time.
I mean, basically all of that comes back to writing, which was my other big part. I mean, kind of like the 2 points I had earlier with MODOK and the humor not landing, but then what you said too of all these conflicting themes and tones comes back to writing. And that's something else on this movie I thought wasn't the best. Like you said with characters, like sometimes characters didn't feel like they fit the like level of seriousness. And I think at times they didn't. I don't know if it's a performance thing either, but there were just some moments where I was like, oh my gosh. Like the one thing that me and my friend who saw the movie were like constantly like rolling our eyes at was the whole overarching theme of family. And I think that's like a good thing to do. And it makes sense for this movie. But they tried to drive that point so hard that it became redundant and like kind of enough. Like the whole, I mean, again, it makes sense because that's the crew they're with. It's not the criminal gang now, but it's rather the whole family. But like when they're fighting for their lives and calling each other Jelly Bean or Peanut, it's like, all right, like we get it. It's about like family. And I thought that was something that was kind of annoying at times.
And actually this brings up a really good point. I want to say the trailers lied to us, because I thought the moral theme or the overall theme of this movie would be Scott dealing with the struggle between choosing what is right and choosing to get like his daughter back. You know what I mean? Because like at the trailers were like proposing that this movie would be Scott trying to get like the time back, like the 5 years he lost with his daughter. That was not a theme in this movie
No,
whatsoever.
it
And
came up like
it was
once.
teased. It was teased when Hope Van Dyne was in there with Kang earlier in the movie. Like the flashback scene when she's like, I could give you time, like the time you lost here with your daughter. That was teased. Or that wasn't teased, that was an actual thing that happened. But like that felt like, oh, some like, but then she obviously chose the right thing to do, which shows like not necessarily character arc, but like how good of a morality her character has. So that was something nice to see. But then the trailers just lied to us, and that really, I think that could have helped the idea of family throughout the
I
film.
think that's a good point. I honestly hadn't really watched too many trailers. Like obviously, like before something in theaters, I'd sit and watch it, but yeah, that's a good point.
Well, you're anti-trailer, so you don't like seeing
Well,
trailers
no.
before you see
I like
movies.
watching, I like seeing trailers. I think it's interesting, but like if someone asked me today to go see like a movie in a week, I wouldn't look up a trailer and be like, let me make my decision. I'd go in blind.
I think I rarely make a decision off trailers to go see a movie, but
Really?
I mean, yeah, I'm not going to see this movie because this trailer looks bad. I
Oh,
don't think I've
yeah.
ever made, because like, yeah, I don't think, like Cocaine Bear is a good example. Like those trailers are like, I don't think it's going to tell the overall thing of the movie, but I'm like, oh, I'm still going to see the movie. You know what I mean? And with
That's
this
fair.
one, I was kind of like, all right, like it would have been, I think, because you don't really see character arc in this film. Like, I don't, because you don't see Paul Rudd struggle with anything really.
Yeah, until like what, the last like 2 minutes, because then he's like having all these questions. And but I mean, it's like it played off as a joke though. It kind of starts like the movie quite literally comes full circle, but like you said, like there really is no arc. I feel like these characters are all the same. Like Scott has already experienced this like loss and reconnection with his daughter. So it's not like it just It just feels like normal. Like he, what, is fighting for his daughter, but nothing changes within him. But then again, at the end, he's like asking those little questions about the consequences of his actions, which I guess maybe goes back to that point of Scott, like thinking about something twice, which maybe might not have happened before, or like thinking about like his career as a superhero, but really, like you just saw it, like there really isn't a character
And
arc.
I think they played that final scene off where he's like, did he like, is he still alive? Is he gonna come after us? I feel like they played that off for comedic purposes. Cause then you just, cause there's a pause and then Paul Rudd's like, eh, never mind. Like, eh, don't have to worry about it. Which I'm kind of like, And then that's actually a good transition into them killing Kang, which was a very interesting way, I think, for them to handle, I guess, the transition of him in this movie. I did not expect him to die. I thought they were going to like escape him and then him like rise in power.
I don't know what I was expecting, but the death kind of was like, I mean, it makes sense too because he's such like a threatening character that he died, but then again, like to go into that mid-credit scene where there's a million more, like the whole entire like the multiverse idea in the MCU has been open for like a bit now with, I mean, I don't know if it just started in No Way Home, but like we know that there's more out there. So I think like it makes sense considering that Kang had to die.
And I think they were trying to push like maybe he's one of the weaker ones because he's the outcast. So it's kind of interesting to see like, oh, like if this is like 1% of his power, obviously it's not, but like what's the other 99 look like? Which is actually going to be really interesting. And I want to see how they make his character more menacing in the future. Because obviously, did you stay for both post credit scenes? So like this was so funny. This is a little during the second one, which was the teaser for Loki. Obviously, you see Kang's like appearance in it, and he's gonna play a role in season two, which should be interesting. And I'm actually gonna watch that one. I'm gonna make it like a plan to go see that because I like the first season of Loki. But anyways, during the trailer, there was a guy behind me. Like we were sitting in the theater, I was sitting next to my brother, and the teaser trailer comes on, and you see Loki, and then you see Kang, and this guy behind me absolutely starts losing it. He starts losing
Really?
his mind. He's like,
That's so
he's
funny.
losing his mind. And I look over to my brother, I'm like, oh my, I start dying laughing just because it's like, bro, like this is, I thought we knew like Loki 2 season, like season 2 is happening. It's not like this is a major news. And he's like, oh my God, oh my God. I
Maybe he's
start
not on
dying
social
laughing.
media.
Maybe he's not, but still, like, you don't, that's like, that was a, he reacted more for the teaser than he did the entire movie, which was so funny.
That's funny.
But yeah, so that kind of wraps up our discussion on Ant-Man and the Wasp. Janet, what did you rate this film on Letterboxd?
I gave this movie, drum roll, one
Ba-da-da-da.
star out of five.
Dang, that's very
I
low. That's
found
very, very
myself
low.
bored at times. I didn't really like it. Different discussion. I thought some of the acting was subpar.
Ooh,
And
from who? Just
from
give us names.
Catherine Newton, she was so
Yeah.
annoying. She was
I can
pissing
see
me
that.
off the whole movie, running around. Dad! Okay. But different discussion. There's a second part to this episode I really get into it. And I just didn't like it. So one star.
One star. I gave it initially 3.5. I was off that Marvel high from watching them. That's still a thing, even though these movies aren't as good anymore. Because you always think it's like, oh, that wasn't that bad. And that was kind of my thinking. But then I lowered it to 3 stars.
A
And maybe I'll
whopping
drop it
half a
down two and a
star.
half. Maybe I'll drop it in another half a star to 2.5, just based on if I ever go back and rewatch it and if I notice any flaws. Because that's definitely a thing that you start to notice when you start to rewatch films. You're just like, oh wait, that wasn't as cool as I once remembered. And this is definitely a discussion for weakest Ant-Man movie. And I would love maybe we do a full Marvel tier list episode, maybe in the future. And I would be interested to see where we would rank this film, as it is the first film in the phase 5 of the MCU. Now, as we look forward, I guess, into the MCU, obviously we talked about Guardians of the Galaxy Is that a movie, Gianna, that you are going to go out of your way and see in theaters this summer?
Unless someone asks me to go, no, I don't have that much of an interest in seeing it.
Interesting. Very interesting. Were you,
Will
would you
you?
consider yourself, well, first, let me ask you this real quick. Would you consider yourself a Guardians of the Galaxy fan? Like, did you like the first two?
I thought the movies were good, but I just like I wouldn't consider myself a fan. I
Okay.
enjoyed them, so
Yeah.
I think I'd probably enjoy the Guardians of the Galaxy 3 more than this movie, more than some other Marvel movies, but I don't have an itching to go see it. So
Yeah.
unless someone asks me, then
Interesting.
who
Yeah,
knows?
very interesting. To answer your question, will I be seeing it? Probably. As I look for the like towards the summer, there's some good things coming out for sure. But I would say, and if you go back to our Marvel, or not our Marvel, to our 2023 draft episode, I put Guardians of the Galaxy as one of my more anticipated movies on my list. So I'm actually very excited to see, because that one I think will feel like a third part of a trilogy where
Oh,
Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, failed to do. It didn't, unless this is going down the same route as Thor, where it has like another part. Like it's four, like a quadrilogy, or maybe if it has five or whatever, it'd be very interesting to see. So I'm very interested to see how Guardians of the Galaxy performs and how that one wraps up, because some characters are dying. So that'll be a
For
very interesting
sure.
episode to talk about, see who died and if it was warranted.
So thank you for watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, do know that we also have this posted on anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple Music, Spotify. It's up there. So be sure to check it out if you want to listen to us and more.
Yeah.
And
And
yeah.
if you subscribe on those services, you should be notified when a new episode is released. You can also get that feature on YouTube by clicking subscribe and clicking the bell icon, because you will be also notified when new Jackson and Gianna's movie adventure episodes are uploaded and released. Anyways, guys, I'm Jackson, joined here with Gianna. Today's episode was Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. Should you watch it? Conclusion, probably not. Anyways,
No.
see you guys in the next one.